ありがとうございます。
Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for the delay. This is a meeting, the regular town council meeting of June 20th, 2022 for the town of Curry Beach. John, may we have an invocation and pledge to allegiance, please.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, I pray that you guide us always. Satisfy the needs that need to be met during this meeting. Strengthen us as we make tough decisions. I pray that we will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I pray that we will be fruitful. Father, please guide us so that during this meeting we can be productive. Let us be effective and decisive. Amen.
Amen. Please rise for pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Okay.
Can you hear me all?
Yes, we got you.
Okay, we have Commissioner Hagler on the telephone, so he will be participating. He is out of town on business. Let's start with the approval for the consent agenda items. Council, are there any changes recommended to the consent agenda?
I have none.
Mr. Mayor, I'm making motion. I'm making motion we approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
All right, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 The consent agenda is approved as presented. Adoption of the regular agenda. Are there any recommended changes to the regular agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I have one addition under old business. It'll be item 9.6, the approval of consideration of exemption and approval of contracts for GPI. It's two stormwater contracts, and the town attorney will go through those.
Okay, any other changes? If not, I'll accept the motion.
I'll make the motion to accept that. As presented with the addition.
Second.
All right, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
9.6 has been added. 9.6 has been added to the agenda. The next portion of the council meeting is the address public comment. Now, the public comment is for people who have signed up. And we do have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 individuals who would like to speak to council. The rules around this are, because the agenda is full, 3 minutes. After 3 minutes, we would have to ask you to let the next person speak. Now, all these say, it looks like they're all related to the boardwalk. Boardwalk is section 9.5 on the meeting this evening, where council will be discussing that. So we are happy to take your comments, and we will start with David.
Purpo.
Thank you. State your name and your address.
Just real quick to interrupt, I have several that were emailed in as well.
Okay, there were any comments that were emailed in. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That I will need to read out. And did you address, I'm sorry, I was working on the IT stuff, did you address the 3 minutes?
I did address the 3 minutes, yes. Please.
Good evening. So my name is David Burbo, and I am speaking on behalf of my aunt, Helen Peterson, at 213 North Atlantic Avenue.
Okay.
Also, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak for her. And when I read her letter, she was not able to make it this evening. On June 13, 2022, I received a registered letter as an abutter on Atlantic Avenue referencing a proposed project that the town has applied for a Kima minor permit number 22-05, to alter and replace the boardwalk. Given the timing of your meeting tonight, I determined it the ideal opportunity to share with you firsthand as to how and why my family and I object to the application as submitted. As described and shown in the aerial view and noting the red arrows, the widening would be encroaching on the west through the existing planted border toward and dangerously close to the existing pavement. The plan does not address the hazard created here as to what method or structure would be used and or installed to separate auto traffic from pedestrian traffic. Further, I question why widening is not suggested to the east where there is some space for this before the storm fencing. This mass of additional impervious surface will seriously exacerbate the flooding that already occurs in the existing roadway too frequently with rain events, not even considering a hurricane event. The damage to be expected to the properties to the west can be unacceptable. Similarly, the flooding would impact to the east, seriously eroding the dunes. Further, such a mass of impervious surface is unforgiving as it temporarily absorbs the heat, deflecting it back into the atmosphere, not an environmentally best practice. As I carefully read and evaluated the application, I was perplexed how inconsistent the plan is with the town's land use plan, which contains numerous references regarding protection of the dunes, not cited here in the interest of brevity. Also, the plan is totally inconsistent with the master bicycle pedestrian plan just proposed in March of this year. In that document, our boardwalk is referred to as one of Curie Beach's most recognizable and iconic features. Assuredly, and I and the entire community treasure our boardwalk. Frankly, I was taken by surprise that this project was being considered at this time. Having kept up with town happenings, I understood since March that any implementation of the master plan was to be deferred into the near future, perhaps some years. If the opportunity by funding or otherwise has presented itself sooner than later, I really welcome it. Therefore, please accept my sincere request that the council schedule by agenda item for your next meeting or even sooner in a special meeting as an opportunity for the community to discuss these concerns and plan together for the best outcome for this exciting project. Most sincerely, Helen Peterson. And again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to present on her behalf.
Thank you. Next on that list is Jennifer Ames.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Ames. I live at 313 Atlantic Avenue. I'm a full-time resident. Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, thank you for listening to me speak. First, let me say that I participated in the surveys and I went to the roundtable presentation at the community center for the bike ped plan. The certified letter I received does not reflect what I learned at those proposals. Now we have a very specific proposal of a 10-foot wide ground level concrete walkway / sidewalk. And that's all we can go by with our comments. Aside from the water runoff issues and the loss of protective dunes, let's consider the safety issue. Let's think about this. As I understand it, the impetus behind this was you wanted this designated as an official bike route, and you can't do that for bike traffic on a one-way street going against traffic. I've also heard about the safety for bikes. This doesn't address the issue of bicyclists in the area between L Avenue south to K. Do the bikes continue on the boardwalk where it actually becomes narrower than L through N? Or will you be removing the memorial benches and trash cans? Or will they be on the street anyway? If they are, what will be accomplished for over $2 million and the loss of dunes? Let's think about this. It's a two-block stretch through the residential area of Atlantic. It's a nature path. Put the ped back into bike ped. What happened to your plan of a quarter of the boardwalk each year being replaced over the next 4 years and then maintained? Atlantic Avenue is the slowest and probably the shortest street on the island. It's already bike-friendly. It's 10 miles per hour. You are looking to solve a problem that does not exist. Ask the residents of Atlantic. There are several of us here. What we actually see day in and day out, what goes on. A boardwalk conjures up iconic images of charm, quaintness, carefree days, when times were simpler. Rest and relaxation. Nicholas Sparks doesn't have characters strolling hand in hand down ground level concrete. Will this end up alienating some? Repeat vacationers have come to expect our charm and now be confronted with bells like this on the boardwalk all day long, or the cry of on your left while sipping their happy hippie java as they take a leisurely stroll or photograph butterflies or look at the ocean. Will the film industry be as quick to use our town as we start to lose our quaintness? I never thought of that as a point. I ran into someone whose son is in the film industry. This fellow lives on 4th. And he said the filming in Wilmington, they take into consideration the quaintness of our area when they go to film here. We would ask you to consider a special meeting to address these concerns with this permit and this project. There are unintended consequences with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Howard Ames.
Back surgeries in the last couple of months.
Please bear with me.
Well, that's quite all right.
This is a walk in the park compared to the surgery. Gentlemen, my name is Howard Ames and I live at 313 Atlantic Avenue. I thank you for being able to speak to you today at this public meeting. We received a certified letter from the town along with other residents along Atlantic Avenue. As you are aware, the letter informs us, which most Curry Beach residents are not aware yet, that the town has applied for a PAMA minor permit to replace the Atlantic Avenue boardwalk with a 10-foot wide ground level concrete sidewalk. The most concern to us with the extensive use of concrete, which will not be pervious to rain, I'm worried that with the added amount of concrete, it will create a situation of extensive water runoff and possible flooding of our home. In addition, it's very important that we protect the structural dune ecosystem that helps to protect us. Widening the current wooden boardwalk with its quaint small town feel into the dunes will be detrimental to the protective nature of the dune. We believe that the submitted permit application is inconsistent with the town of Curry Beach land use plan's objectives, goals, and statements. Whether it's regarding the effect on the dunes, the effect of the neighboring properties, or the oceanfront small town feel and aesthetics, the proposed wide concrete sidewalk that is as wide as the adjacent road does not fit in with the plan. The proposed sidewalk would be less safe for pedestrians. Bringing bicycles onto the boardwalk would prove difficult for pedestrians taking a leisurely walk on this two-block part of Curry Beach. Children, the elderly, and handicapped will find it difficult to get out of the way of fast approaching bicyclists coming from both directions. In addition, having no elevation to the walkway, no intervening bushes from the road, as shelves are being considered instead, will provide more likelihood that a vehicle will cross over onto the walkway. We have lived on Atlantic Avenue for quite some time and have not seen one accident between pedestrians, bicycles, and vehicles. In addition, the proposed multi-use pathway as defined in the Curry Beach Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan, in my opinion, appears to contradict some of the guidelines provided by NCDOT. A few concluding thoughts. There are two issues regarding the boardwalk. First is the condition of the boardwalk, and arguments can be made for a lower maintenance option like composite that looks like wood. Second is the creation of a wide multi-use path for just two blocks. This would be inconsistent with the look and feel of a small town East Coast location. All bicyclists are pedestrians, but not all pedestrians are bicyclists. No one is excluded from taking a leisurely stroll along the boardwalk. By adding bicyclists to the mix, you negatively affect the safety of children, the elderly, and the handicapped, not to mention the estimated $2.4 million cost of the project. One statement ingrained in our thinking in medical school, in Latin, primum non nocere, first, do no harm. Simple yet eloquent. It's time to step back and appreciate all possible information regarding this project as well as the consequences that your plan may cause. You certainly don't want to create a situation that is permanent and looks and functions poorly and creates additional unintended problems. Let's please get together very soon in a public forum to discuss how we'd like to take care of our town's asset, the boardwalk. If you'd like to consider a temporary special committee to evaluate and make recommendations on the boardwalk challenge, I'd be very available to be part of that process. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ames. Next up, Susan Sewell.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me speak today. I hope it was okay. Rhonda Honeycutt did not want to speak, and she asked for her time to be allotted to me to speak on her behalf as well. I have a letter that I've written, and I'll just go through and really read the letter, and I would like my letter to be added to the official town council meeting minutes. My name is Susan Sewell. I'm a full-time resident at 233 Atlantic Avenue. I've been unable to attend previous meetings, so I'm here today to share my concerns regarding this certified letter received for the Camera Minor application permit number 2205 for the removal and replacement of our boardwalk. I have several questions and concerns as it relates to this proposed project that I would like to share. I would ask this letter be received as part of the official minutes of today's meeting. Also, I am officially requesting another meeting to be held with all of you if possible to allow all the concerned citizens the opportunity to ask more questions, speak freely without time constraints, as it seems many of our residents were not aware of the details and scope and urgency now seen in this project. First, I would like to say I'm very blessed to live in our beautiful, charming beach community. I've owned my home for 10 years and love every single thing about our town. You guys have all done an incredible job with our oceanfront park, festivals, markets, parks, events. We continue to thrive and offer so much to our residents and tourists alike. I very much appreciate our police and fire departments who do an amazing job at keeping our town safe. I spend an enormous amount of time on my front porch visiting with neighbors and friends and enjoying the boardwalk and the beach when I'm not working, when I'm not taking care of my special needs stepson, or serving as treasurer on a local Wilmington nonprofit board. Here are my concerns. Number one, why does this project seem to be fast-tracked? I understood it to be planned for years down the road. What is the exact time frame? Is this really the most prudent time to start a project like this, given the state of our economy, not to mention the cost of building materials and labor? I have a serious issue with the cost reference, $2.2 to $2.4 million. How do we plan to pay for this, especially with all the other, in my opinion, more urgent matters our town faces, such as crosswalk safety, bike safety on Fort Fisher Boulevard, and drainage problems? That number is really hard for me to comprehend. Since the town employee David retired a few years ago, the boardwalk has really not been maintained at the same level. I see that the town has hired a landscaping company, but I notice on a daily basis the vegetation is still growing over the boardwalk edges, which does cause deterioration. This includes the huge palms that are not trimmed to stay clear of the boardwalk or the road. As a result, it becomes harder to drive on Atlantic Avenue without them scratching your car. I've noticed it takes weeks, sometimes months, to make repairs. A side note, I do have treated wood on my property, and I personally brush and spray a clear polyurethane type product that not only preserves the lifespan of the wood, is a very cost-effective solution. In my opinion, our boardwalk is not rotten, as it's referenced on the camera permit. I understand the town is short-staffed, but I assume that is a result of COVID, similar to the rest of our country, and not for any other reasons, and would hope this would change in the near future. I would like to see a dedicated employee again be responsible for the care and upkeep of our boardwalk instead of trying to justify spending these millions of dollars. My next question, what studies have been done as it relates to how this would impact our dunes? Again, I haven't been to the other meetings, so you might have already done these studies. How will it environmentally impact the dunes and the animal life in our dunes? I personally treasure our dunes and would like to assume this feeling is also shared by everyone in this room. It's referenced online this project would be 10 feet wide, but 12 feet is recommended. Currently, our boardwalk is 6 feet wide. Extending it to 12 feet would add at least another 6 feet into the dunes, if not more, after moving and installing the dune fence. I'm also concerned about the construction process and how that would affect the dunes.
Do you have much more to cover, ma'am? Because we're at 4 minutes now.
Okay, I have 2 more minutes of her time, right?
No, yet. Through.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't recall. What was your question?
Another person signed up to speak and allowed me to speak on her behalf, so I assumed that I would have the total time of both of ours.
Did you have 6 minutes?
Yes.
So that wouldn't be fair to the others. But
she can have
how much time. More? How much more do you have?
I can read faster, not much longer.
Okay.
I would really appreciate the opportunity to finish. I understand and I hope I'm not, I'm sorry if I'm taking up anybody else's time.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I really
You most certainly have the right to speak.
Thank you.
Ma'am, whoever made that comment, there are rules here and we will not suspend the rules. Please do not get involved in the management of the meeting.
I'll be quick. I have concerns about water flow as it relates to the 10 and 12 foot wide ground level structure. Atlantic Avenue already has water flow issues when we have heavy rain or storm, especially a hurricane. What will water flow issues do to a ground level concrete sidewalk, and what kind of expense will the town be faced down the road to resolve these issues? What studies have been done regarding this? Where else in North Carolina can you find this type of boardwalk? Why wouldn't we be trying to preserve what we already have and enjoy? Locals and visitors alike enjoy a quaint, charming boardwalk every single day. I watch that happiness firsthand from my front porch. I believe it to be the reason many people love coming to Curie Beach. I also believe it to be the reason our farming field industry comes to Curie Beach. I am not trying to alienate anyone in this community, but the bike path proposal is not just a cosmetic change, it would be a cultural change to our community. We are not Miami, where the boardwalks are large and accommodate multi-uses. Even Carolina Beach does not allow bicycles on their boardwalk. It is inviting a new type of use of the boardwalk, one that I personally do not welcome. In my opinion, we do not have a safety issue. In the 10 years I've lived here, I've not seen any issues on the street with cars, bikes, and pedestrians. Please show me documentation of incidents or safety studies that have been done. Right now, bikes do ride both directions on Atlantic on a daily basis. It's interesting to note, yesterday was the first time I've ever seen a police officer stop a biker driving in the wrong direction. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's the first time I personally have seen it in 10 years. The boardwalk currently is enjoyed by families coming and going, walking their dogs, folks going to dinner, etc., etc. What I do not want to happen is having bikes racing down a 10 or 12 foot wide sidewalk, skateboards racing down, golf carts driving on it. Currently, yes, golf carts do drive on our current boardwalk when they can get away with it. We also have a lot of retirees and elderly people appreciating the muscle and joint friendly wooden walkway. Many dogs are spooked by bicycles, mine personally, as such. The last thing we need to happen is a bicycle accidentally hitting a dog or a child. Have we done safety studies as it relates to this? Atlantic Avenue for Curie Beach residents and tourists to enjoy the ocean view. It's for families to enjoy a walk. Walkers can run as to exercise. Beach cruisers should take a leisurely ride. It should not be expected to support twice as much traffic of any kind. From my view, the only time Atlantic is busy is during peak season, July and August. That seems to be really only during the day, and it's not all day, every day. We have bigger issues, obviously, for biker and pedestrian safety, such as Port Fisher Boulevard. I do not feel that our town police should have to spend their time monitoring what is happening on a 10 to 12 foot wide walkway. I see them ride by every day, very much appreciate their presence. If this boardwalk project takes place, my prediction is that our officers will be spending time policing the use of the boardwalk, and honestly, I do not think that's the best use of their time. And finally, this project clearly contradicts several sections of the Curie Beach land use plan. How has this been addressed? Our beach accesses are wooden, the pier is wooden, the Carolina Beach boardwalk is wooden, the downtown Wilmington boardwalk is wooden. All these structures are maintained appropriately. I feel strongly that we as a community can find a much easier and cost-effective solution to preserving our famous and charming assets. I do appreciate you allowing me the time to read this to you today, and I hope you will honor my request to have a more open and candid conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I took up so much time.
Well said. Thank you, Susan.
You need to keep you, everybody.
Yes.
Rhonda Honeycutt.
She is
okay. Michelle Banks.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Banks, and I live at 342 Fort Fisher Boulevard North. I did not receive a certified letter, but I do have some insight, I guess you could say, from my position. I'm over at the corner of N Avenue and Fort Fisher Boulevard next to the public beach parking and then the beach access there at the end of N. I regularly walk and bike on Atlantic Avenue, and I've had my home since 2006, and I have never had an issue of courtesies of other people or myself allowing other people to pass in either directions. I've also attended town council meetings by phone during COVID. I also recently attended town council meetings, the bike pedestrian committee meeting, and also gone to coffee with the mayor. So I've tried to stay abreast of what is going on with this whole project, and I appreciate everyone's efforts on both sides. My biggest concern is for safety on Atlantic Avenue and Boardwalk. I understand that there are repairs that have to be made, and as, again, I don't want to repeat too much, but as others have said, there are some repairs that need to be made, and a lot of it has to do with maintenance. Again, I haven't really experienced any real major issues. I do see that the walkway should be for pedestrians, and then I proposed or suggested a bike path for along the road between the pedestrian boardwalk and the road of Atlantic Avenue, and creating a bike path or bike lane there to kind of break up the mobility of everyone so you don't have that crossover between pedestrians and bicyclists for those risks. There's also the drainage issues, which I know others have mentioned, so I won't go into all of that. Native plantings and dividers, again, if there's overgrowth on the plants, maybe finding something that's more suitable for the area. If you do decide to do plantings, just looking at other options that may not have been considered, or just to readdress those. All right, and then also the material, again, I agree with others as far as the eco-friendly side of things. The cement or concrete walkway is not conducive to that. And as others have mentioned, the KB Pier, Carolina Beach Boardwalk, Wilmington Riverwalk, they're in the pier, are all wood. And our island is known, our Carrie Beach is known for the pier that is a wooden pier. And let's see, trying to condense here. It's also, as others have mentioned, it's more of a scenic, leisurely kind of a ride or walk down Atlantic Avenue. It's not your typical street that you see in Curie Beach. You have the low speed limit, you have the stop signs, you have people going to beach accesses. Again, it's a more user-friendly kind of street. As others have mentioned, there really have never been issues. In a lot of ways, I think going in both directions, it allows for friendly interaction with individuals and others. And I think that's a bonus to our community that we have that others don't. If you put this concrete, you're basically making it like any other beach town that's out there, in my opinion. And again, we're only looking at two blocks that we're looking to change. Just wondering if that's really the best way to use that space. Changes is inevitable, so there may be changes that need to be made, but just asking that you readdress and look at what is being proposed and what we're looking to do with the proposal itself. And in conclusion, Curie Beach's history, its nostalgia, the character, and its branding are all about the oldest fishing pier, which is a wooden pier on the Atlantic coast. And according to the Cape Fear Visitor Guide, it's an unmistakable beach landmark. What is our Curie story? Thank you.
Thank you. Diane Rankin.
I'm doing it again.
Hi, my name is Diane Rankin. I live at 235 North 4th Avenue and also own 233 North 4th Avenue that we do for seasonal rentals. And I'll tell you that the folks that come down seasonally and rent for me, they really enjoy Boardwalk and the friendliness of the area and the way the area looks. I think the town has done an amazing job to continue to keep large high rises and things like that out of Curie Beach, and I appreciate those efforts as well. I have a few concerns. I really haven't been on top of this. I just heard a few things, and I thought I just wanted to mention, I'm very concerned about the drainage issues, for one. I know I have personally had some drainage issues at my house that I had to take care of. It was quite expensive. And I also wanted to concrete, and I know this is somewhat, it kind of coincides with this a little bit, but I was not able to fully concrete a section of my driveway because of the way too much impervious material, for starters. It wasn't a large area, but I needed the parking since we can't park on the street. But because of looks of people not wanting to look at concrete is basically what I was told, and stormwater drainage. So I had to put some river rocks in, which not a problem. I didn't appeal it or anything. So I guess my concern there is that you would run concrete down that distance of the boardwalk. But it's not a large area. But the next issue I have is the dunes, the sea turtles, lighting. What happens there if you need to take care of lighting to, you know, deal with the new plan you have in place? Is that going to have an effect on our sea turtles and things like that? So I just kind of wanted that to mention that, and I look forward to, you know, kind of trying to stay on top of things with what's going on with the project and how you plan to move forward. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. How many do you have to read, Mandy? Okay, let's read.
Okay, the first one is from Roy Irwin. My name is Roy Irwin, and I reside at 301 Settlers Lane. I'm contacting you in regards to the proposed boardwalk replacement between L and N Avenue. My wife and I are not in favor in replacing the existing wooden boardwalk with a 10-foot impervious structure. We feel the Whitehead Committee is trying to fix a problem that doesn't exist. I do feel not too many of the residents are aware of this, and the town needs to do a better job in informing the residents instead of rubber stamping a draft that the committee came up with. Thank you. The next one is Bob and Christy McAllen. I'm trying to find their address. I don't see their address on here. Dear Ms. Sanders, it has been brought to our attention that there's a proposal for an Atlantic Avenue sidewalk permit. This letter is to outline that we are opposed to the request for permit and request that it be denied. We have significant concerns regarding safety, aesthetics, the environment, as well as flooding that could impact our home and our community. We support bike safety and ride our bikes along Atlantic Avenue weekly. Being a resident of the street, we often see cyclists riding up and down the street and have not seen anyone at risk that could be solved for with the proposed permit. The solution will only endanger current residents, guests using the boardwalk, negatively impact our environment within the beach, and also increase unnecessary risk to our homes. If there's an additional need for cyclist safety, then I would recommend expanding the established bike path from Carolina Beach to Curie Beach, or increasing the number of stop signs along Atlantic Avenue to provide impact. As homeowners on Atlantic Avenue, we respectfully ask for the permit to be denied to preserve our home and community in Curie Beach. The next one is from Kathy Shepherd and Janet Sproggs, AKA the Warren Girls, 241 Atlantic Avenue. As a longtime permanent resident and homeowner on Atlantic Avenue for 42 years, I would like to voice my ideas on the proposed changes to the wooden boardwalk. Our quiet residential neighborhood welcomes a parade of walkers, joggers, photographers on the boardwalk with a unique view along the oceanfront. It is as if it were an extension of the oceanfront park. The roses and shrubs and native plants that line the area between the one-lane road are well-maintained and lovely, adding to the ambiance of a park. Yes, the boardwalk needs maintenance. It really should have been treated with a weather seal as it is built of wood, but there are materials that are much more permanent that would withstand the harsh elements. Also, wild animals tend to harbor there, rats, opossums. Foxes are frequently seen, so if money is available to be spent, I would like to see a ground-level walking surface built so that water can go through it or drain off towards the dunes, and of a material such as plastic lumber, which is a good use for recycled plastics. Concrete would be hot to walk on as well as impervious to water. As a frequent porch sitter, my observation of any traffic problems is minimal. Bicycles and golf carts, convertibles and family vans share the road. Baby strollers and old folks leaning on walkers, couples walking hand in hand, children running ahead of their parents wave as they pass by on the boardwalk. As I understand the proposed changes, it is to take out the plants and replace with oyster shells, then an impervious concrete walkway to extend into the dunes 10 feet. This doesn't seem to complement the seaside vibes of a wood-looking walkway. Thank you for taking other ideas into consideration from the permanent residents who will be affected by changes, photos included. And this is the photos included. I can email them out to you too as well, but they will be a part of the record in the minutes for you to see. The next one is Terry and Patty McHugh. We would greatly appreciate if the statement could be read into Town Council's record. We do not support the proposal to construct a 10-foot wide concrete sidewalk on Atlantic Avenue from L Avenue to N Avenue. Here are our thoughts on this matter. A concrete sidewalk is not in keeping the overall aesthetic of the beachfront. The historic Fury Beach Pier and the boardwalk south of L Avenue will remain as wood. A concrete sidewalk is totally incompatible. The concept of a shared bike and pedestrian sidewalk will prove to be unsafe for pedestrians. The current boardwalk is heavily used by families with strollers and young children walking. The addition of two-way bike traffic on a concrete sidewalk will inevitably lead to children getting hit by a bicycle, many of which will be pedaled by experienced, careful adults, but by other young children and teens, perhaps at reckless speed. The concrete walkway will also add skateboards, hoverboards, and scooters to the overall mix. The current boardwalk is of sufficient width to easily accommodate pedestrian traffic. The only choke points we have observed is where some of the vegetation along Atlantic Avenue is allowed to grow 12 to 24 inches over the boardwalk. The plants with broadleaves and pointy ends are definitely ones you want to give wide berth while scrolling. They should be trimmed back regularly. Extending the proposed new sidewalk into the existing dunes seems a terrible precedent for encroaching on what should remain a protected area. The need to accommodate bicycles along Atlantic Avenue with a new sidewalk is a solution in search of a problem. Atlantic Avenue is a low-speed, one-way street. Our observations made over the past 14 years would suggest that cyclists have no real problem negotiating the road in either direction. Our family has often biked in this area without incident for many years. We suspect that there are few, if any, reports of bicycle accidents on this section of Atlantic Avenue. The most treacherous section of Atlantic Avenue for cyclists is the beach parking area between K Avenue and L Avenue, the one block of Atlantic Avenue not included in the concrete sidewalk proposal. To make Atlantic Avenue even safer for cyclists, installation of an additional stop sign at the beach accesses point halfway between M Avenue and N Avenue would add another slope down point for autos. We suspect the concept of a bikeway in Curie Beach linking to the one in Carolina Beach, which we often run, or we support, not suspect, sorry. We believe this bikeway should be located along the western edge of Curie Beach, connecting all the way to Fort Fisher. Thanks for the opportunity to voice our thoughts. Owners at 221 Atlanta Avenue, Unit A. I'm Sanders. I am Arthur Pat Webster, co-owner of the Curie Cottage located at 301 Atlantic Avenue, Curie Beach. Please read the following note below at the upcoming town meeting on June 20th and thank you in advance. I want to voice my strong opposition to the proposed expansion of the existing boardwalk extending along Atlantic Avenue from L to N Avenue. Specific reasons for my opposition are as follows. The proposed project is part of a 10-part overall proposed pedestrian bike plan drafted by the town that allows for
greenways, access, bike, walk trails, crossings and paths, and diversion of through bike traffic away from Fort Fisher Boulevard. While widening an effective low profile boardwalk at an estimated cost of $2.5 million when these other proposed provisions are more than adequate to meet the objective. Is the boardwalk project critical in obtaining the bicycle and walk-friendly community designation? There is currently an endless stream of vehicle traffic parading down Atlantic Avenue. If the boardwalk is expanded, the intended consequence of more foot bike traffic would be attained, and along with this accomplishment will come more car traffic, loitering, noise, and crime. The town will have created a potential surface atmosphere among Atlantic Avenue. Is this what anyone wants? As it is, through traffic should be limited or prohibited on Atlantic Avenue. Has the town commissioned the mandatory environmental impact assessment, EIA, or the coastal equivalent for this project? Will the DOT be asked to conduct a traffic feasibility study? I have concerns regarding both these potential issues. In closing, I would like to remind you all that the most prevalent message in Curie Beach Land Use Plan, Historic Preservation Plan, and amongst all West citizens is to maintain Curie Beach's small town charm and character. A unique town resource that requires vigilant stewardship as opposed to commercial degradation. After all, this is Atlantic Avenue, not Atlantic City. Thanks to all for your dedication to our community. And last one. Hello. Oh, sorry. Actually, no, that is not it. I got an email from Mr. TJ Peterson, who is on the line, and I responded that he could email me. I don't know if he wants to speak, but he was on the line earlier.
Yeah, I am on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Can I share some thoughts really quickly right now?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you very much to the town council, to the mayor, for making this time available. Obviously, you've heard a lot of feedback from the community. I'm at 213 Atlantic Avenue with Helen Peterson. I received a CAMA notice. I also own 214 Fort Fisher Boulevard North. And I support the work of the Bike Head Committee. I think it's great. I love the survey that they conducted. I think the work and the design, the ideas that they presented are really great, and I really appreciate the support of the town council of this. If you don't know who I am, you might know me because I've been out on the boardwalk, tending to the roses, picking up the dog poop, pulling the mulch away from the walkway, doing some pruning that you heard the other speakers speak about, so I really actually know the walkway. There's a great snake that lives under the walkway. It really suggests that it's actually a rich habitat. So I support the continuation of the uses that you've heard about. I certainly understand the maintenance issues. And this walkway lasted almost 20 years, and that's great. And I think we should learn the lessons from what we've experienced. I certainly understand the town's desire to simplify the maintenance. And I think through this kind of discussion, we can come up with a plan that solves the environmental, the design, the aesthetic. Flooding is a really big issue. And I will add, the flooding has gotten a lot worse in the last few years because of the storms that we're having, and it's not hurricane related. So I think the water issues and the safety issues that you've heard about. So like the other speakers you've heard, I totally support kind of a rethink and a reevaluation after 20 years and design aesthetics and actually, you know, making this a better maintenance issue for the town. So thank you very much, and look forward to further conversations with you all.
Thank you. Is that it, Mandy?
I just had one more join, but yes, that's all that I have on my list.
All right. Thank you all who took the time to come and speak to us. We will be talking about this at 9.5 on old business. That's going to take a little while, but be my guest. Please stay and listen, and we can answer some of your questions. Committee business. Mandy, we don't have any presentations tonight, do we?
No, sir.
All right. Committee business, bike ped committee.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. My name is Eileen Clute, and I am here on behalf of Mo Lindquist. She is the chair for the bike pedestrian committee. I am a member of that committee, and we were. I wanted to ask first and foremost about the appointments. Will that be done first?
It was done on the consent agenda.
Oh, okay. Yep.
They're approved.
Yes, excellent.
Yes.
So I wanted to first thank you for the appointment of Tracy Mitchell to the Bike Pedestrian Committee. Tracy is a resident of Beach Walk and is the HOA president, and we do hope that that residents see a good representation and see that all voices being heard with the demographic and variety of people on the committee. Earlier this month, our committee met and we did have a presentation from the multimodal NCDOT, Tony Sumter. And Tony took us through the increased safety and quality of life focus that they have with their complete streets. Complete streets was approved back in 2019. And so with that, we look forward to working further with him and collaborating on that vision. We do have a booth that we're going to have tomorrow at the Curry Beach Market, and at that market we'll be addressing any safety input. We'll be providing some safety tips for pedestrians and bikers, as well as available to answer any questions regarding the comprehensive plan. We have dates. We'll be there once for June, July, and August. It's tomorrow the 21st, July 26th. And August 9th. The event is from 8 to 1, and we look forward to seeing you there. We also have the pavement of the connector that is being rescheduled, so stay tuned for that, and that will be completed at a later date. Looking to get that rescheduled. And last but not least, I'd like to share with you the completion of the bike tour to Blueberry. Tour de Blueberry bike event. They had a virtual team, Curry Beach did, named Curry Cruisers, and there was also a live event, and it's grown significantly. There were over 500 riders in the live event. We had over 20 plus teams that entered on the virtual event, and Curry Cruisers was in the top five in size, so it is still open with the results due to come back in. I understand they will be available later this week, but their fundraising really supports a lot of the activity that we're trying to do here in Curry Beach. And the one item that we did earlier this year was the traffic garden, and it was because of the support from Cape Fear Cyclists and Terry Benji Foundation that we were able to make that happen. So. It was great. I have to say that the totals aren't in yet entirely, but it looks like we have Curry Cruisers in the top running for the number of miles for sure. So thank you for your time, and that's it for me. Any questions?
No. Thanks, Eileen. Good work on the tour.
Thank you. Our live rider right here, Commissioner Allen.
Okay. Community Center Committee. I attended the Community Center Committee this month. We did have a quorum, and we have added two more committee members to that team. So that team will become a little more active, and we will have more uses for that community center. So just keep your eye on the announcements that come through the town blast and for other activities. Historical Preservation Commission.
I don't think there's anything to report on that.
Nothing to report?
Did the letters have gone out?
There were no letters sent out. They decided to do an email blast instead of the letters being mailed individually due to the fact that so many people have post office boxes, the mail won't forward, et cetera, et cetera. So we just, between chasing the letters and the headers and researching, trying to figure out everyone's mailing address and where in the world they actually are, we decided to send it out via our notification system. So that's where we are with that.
Okay. Land Use Plan Committee.
There's nothing to report on that.
Nothing to report.
The last meeting you approved.
We approved it.
Sending the draft
to so we're complete.
We're waiting for comments from the state, and when we get those comments, then we'll have a public hearing and approval.
Right. Okay.
That'll be a while. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Marketing Committee.
There's no update at this time. We meet next week.
All right. Meeting with the TDA board. Okay. Parking Committee. Parking Committee is kind of monitoring, but we have achieved over $300,000 in the first 10 weeks of the season. We have 14 more weeks to go. So that's good for the community, and hopefully we will have continue to have the type of visitations that we've had earlier this year. We are quite a bit ahead of last year's income at this point in time. So things can always change, but it's an excellent outlook. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Jim Dugan, Vice Chairman of the Planning and Zoning. We received a text application for a continuance of a non-conforming situation, such as a change in a roof design. We were shy one member, so after lengthy discussion, having both Jim and John Batson with us to answer the question, we voted and ended up in a tie. So it's now yours.
Yeah, all right.
With best wishes from you.
That's on the agenda tonight for you to fix a date for the legislative hearing and some of the materials that you'll need to review to get up to speed are included in the agenda packet tonight. But your only order of business regarding this item, other than questions you might have, is to fix a date and for the July meeting to have the legislative hearing.
And if anybody on the board has any questions, please feel free to answer, to ask anybody who was there on the committee meeting, and both Jim and John would be very, very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we'll schedule that the July meeting.
I do believe the applicant's here, and he's unable to attend the July meeting, correct?
Yeah, I've got a wedding in the family during when the July meeting going to occur, so I was hoping to schedule a different date or push to the August meeting so I'll be able to attend and give my input.
It doesn't present any issues, that's fine.
I'm sorry?
That's fine.
All right, so we're going to do an emergency meeting at, we said at 5:30, Mandy?
Yes.
Yes.
What day?
At the August meeting.
That's August. So if we're going to do this in July.
He just said he couldn't be here in July. We need to do it
last
in
August. Last time we had this, we did the public hearing at 5 and then the emergency.
Yeah. All right, so Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion that we schedule this legislative hearing on the date of our August.
15th.
August what, Mandy?
15th
at 5 p.m.
I think we just planned on doing the next COVID meeting.
At 5:30.
At 5:30. So you're doing this at 5?
5 o'clock, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
And it'll be an agenda.
I have a motion.
Consideration and action will be on the agenda.
This is Jay Bender. I'll second the motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so be it. Anything else from planning and zoning? I guess not. Jim left.
No, sir, I'm still here.
Oh, you're still here.
Big Jim too.
I was thinking of Jim Dugan. Shoreline access and beach protection.
I think we might want to mention that the shoreline access and beach protection is planning a beach sweep on July 5th. So after the 4th of July weekend, it'd be a good time to schedule a cleanup on the beach.
July 5th. Hope to see you all there.
What time? Yeah, what do you do?
8:30
in the
morning.
8:30 in the market. We're hoping to get people in, do their shopping, and then grab a bag and head to the beach.
Yeah. Thank you guys for all the work you're doing on the beach, honestly. Stormwater Committee?
Yes, this is Ed Weber. Our next meeting will be next Monday night at Town Hall on the 27th. We didn't have meetings last month, and further on in the old business, we added two issues on stormwater that we'll talk about at that time. Nothing else, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All right. That concludes committee business. Moving on to department head business. Administration first, Mandy.
I don't have anything tonight.
Okay. Building Inspections Department, John.
Good evening, Mayor Council. In your agenda package, you have a letter from the Eckerd's residents at 421 Settlers Lane. You've seen something like this in the past two or three times now. Along Settlers Lane on the western side, we have a utility easement that backs up to their properties. And the Eckerd's would like to build a small fence in that area, a deck in that area. You guys have approved requests like this in the past, as long as the note or the agreement is written as they've written here. And so I'm presenting for them, and I believe they're here to talk about it. If you have any questions also.
Unattached?
Correct.
Okay. And if the town needs the easement, you will pay to tear it down?
Absolutely.
Within 30 days?
Within 30 days.
Public Works is okay with all this and everything?
I have in the past, so I'm talking to them about this one specifically.
Is that a yes, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Make a motion, we approve.
Second?
I'll second. Mr. David.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yeah. Okay, anything else, John? All right, not yet. Finance Department.
So I actually have two items listed there that I'm going to narrow down to just one. It was Budget Amendment 22-14 is the first one. And that really relates to transferring funds from the general fund to the beach protection fund. As part of this current year budget that we're in right now, council asked that I kind of evaluate the availability of funds near the end of the fiscal year. We're at that point. And I guess my recommendation would be to transfer $50,000 from general fund to beach protection fund.
So you all know what is being discussed? The team has done a tremendous job with their budgets this year. They have saved the town money in their budgets, the department heads and the staff, and there is $50,000 remaining that we will transfer, if we approve, to the, basically you may want to call it the sand fund. Now, oftentimes, if there's a storm, FEMA does come in and help, but they come in and help with money quite a bit of time after the storm. This is for our safety net so we can react as we need to react. So, good job by staff. I would entertain any questions for Arlen.
Yeah. I mean, do we have the ability to do more?
Possibly. There may be some things coming up that I would feel probably more comfortable.
Just waiting?
Second with the $50,000.
Okay, okay.
Anybody else? John?
No, sir.
All right. So we have a request before us, gentlemen. What's your will? Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve budget amendment 22-14.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, David Edwin.
Okay, unanimous.
So then the second one, which was 22-15, I'm actually going to rescind that. It was for a potential garbage truck purchase before the end of the fiscal year. Jimmy, Public Works Director, just found out earlier today that it will definitely not be ready by June 30th. So it'll actually fall into the next fiscal year, which is already part of the budget that we'll be talking about a little bit later. So it already is budgeted for the next.
So it's not necessary to do the amendment?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you.
Can I ask a question, or is it not appropriate for the audience to ask a question?
Go ahead. What's your question?
My background is finance, so this is amazing that you've saved $50,000. I'm just curious, in storms that we've had in the past, how much have we had to spend to help with our beach before FEMA would come in and help replenish? Like, have we had big, I'm just curious about what the town had to do in the past.
Just that I would mention, we have several hundred thousand dollars in that fund, not just the 50, but...
Yeah, a lot of the things we had to do didn't really relate to the sand.
Okay.
It related to beach accesses, stormwater outfalls.
Like the sand that comes over, like on my street, it comes over on the boardwalk in the street and your yard, like cleaning all of that up kind of thing?
Yeah, they cleaned that up, but we've also had numerous accesses that have been destroyed and
okay.
been rebuilt. And then also the stormwater outfalls that are on the beach.
Right.
We've had those destroyed a couple times
okay.
also.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. All right. Anything else, Alan? All right. Fire Department. Chief?
No updates, sir.
Okay. Police Department.
No updates, sir.
Okay. None beyond reports. Thank you. Public Works Department?
No updates, sir.
Any feedback from the McAdam company or the paving company? I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, sir. I am in touch with them. They, I talked to them last Friday, and they said it would possibly be first of this week, which was today. So I'll reach out again to them tomorrow. Hopefully, they'll honor their contract and come in here and finish their project. They only have two other things that have to be done. So,
okay.
Pushing them has been a task here lately.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. If yes, we need to make a call on behalf of the town, just let us know.
Yes,
we're happy
thank
to
you.
Talk to their owners. But thank you for the update. It's been a little bit of a pain for everybody. Recreation Department, Nikki.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. There is a bullet on there for the discussion of the Christmas show that was continued from the May meeting, and Tammy was supposed to come in and talk on that, and I haven't heard from them since the cancellation of the May meeting, so my suggestion would be to pull that off the agenda until I do hear from them.
Okay. All right.
No other updates.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nikki. All right, moving on to old business, 9.1. Adoption of the full year 22-23 proposed budget ordinance and fee schedule. Arlen.
What I wanted to do was just kind of pick The budget was presented at the May 23rd council meeting, as you know. So, and we've had the public hearing. At this point, I just wanted to briefly go over a couple revisions to what was presented in May. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be up to council whether they want to adopt what was presented. So I have a couple things, some minor changes actually. And for the most part, all the changes that you see here, and I'll go through each fund in just a little bit more detail, but they primarily relate to the cost of gasoline and diesel fuel, and some of the increases we've seen even since the budget was presented in May. So what I'll do is just move on. This kind of summarizes each fund that has had some changes. Again, for the general fund, it all relates to fuel, and it seemed prudent to increase the budget by about $31,000. I'm hoping fuel costs stabilize as sometime during the next 12 months. But this would actually mean that we've raised our budget of just about $45,000 in total. This 31 plus the original proposal included about $15,000 of additional costs over the current year. The offset to that, part of it is some improvement in investment earnings, so I increased our estimates for that based on the increases done by the Federal Reserve. And the balance, about $29,570, would be a further appropriation of fund balance. That would make our total appropriation in this budget $124,500. So still fairly small amount, about 1.5% of the budget, but it's a young appropriation or use of savings to balance the budget. Well, any questions on the general fund?
No.
Stormwater, or I'm sorry,
no.
Water and sewer, basically the same thing. Small increase for fuel. The offset for this one just being the increase or estimated increase in investment earnings. For the stormwater fund, I wanted to show this. The net impact is there is no change, but there is a increase in investment earnings, and this fund already had an appropriation of fund balance planned for some capital projects, so it actually just reduces that by a small amount, $380.
Okay.
And then the other two funds that had changes, the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund and the Beach Protection Fund. This solely relates to investment earnings. And with both of these, it's not really an increase in expenditures. It's an increase of additions to reserves. So they're the only changes since the budget was presented in detail in May. I'm glad to answer any questions that you may have.
No impact to the budget letter. No tax increases, nothing.
No tax increase, no water and sewer increases. The only increase that's proposed is the recycle fee, and that's really to match the increase from our vendor that will be effective July 1st.
Okay. All right. Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the changes to the budget?
I'll make a motion that we accept the changes to the May budget that was approved as presented by our finance chair.
Second.
I'll second.
Just to clarify, right. In May we didn't approve the budget.
No, as presented.
Yeah.
Right, as presented. We're approving it right now. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor of the budget as proposed?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
All right. Unanimous. Thank you. And thank you, staff. Good budget, good outcome.
Thank you.
There's been five good meetings and a public hearing on that subject if you would like to come up to speed on it. It is on the website. Continued discussion on shirts for committees. Mr. Oliver.
Mr. Mayor, our committees have, our Bike Pedestrian Committee has mentioned that they're working at the Curry Beach Market. We've been talking about the committee themselves purchasing their own shirts. I'd like to throw this out to you as a proposal, if council would like to do this. It would identify them with the town logo, the official town logo, and a with volunteer, and then the committee name underneath it, if y'all so choose to let us do this. It would clearly identify them as volunteer. We can move volunteer on the top and bike ped underneath, or however you'd like to do it. But I just either go one way or the other on this tonight.
Yep. The committee
may I ask
does.
A question from the audience.
Yes.
Do you provide t-shirts for the other committee members?
No, but then the committee will purchase our own shirts.
Okay. Yeah. This is really about our emblem. And that meaning our town logo that belongs to you. And the expectation of behavior that comes when you wear that logo in public. The way that we've had a lot of discussion on this particular point. Volunteer indicates that it's not a paid individual for the town. It is a volunteer dedicating themselves, their time to the town. That has been a request of a lot of council to separate paid staff who have a very specific code of conduct from people who are regular citizens and, again, are giving their time. Any other comments relative to this from council?
This is Dave Edgar. I just say that I support Al's proposal. I think the town logo is very important. I do support our volunteers. I think having a clearly delineated volunteer with the town logo is certainly acceptable and a good thing for everyone.
Okay.
Do we have a position already stated, or are we going to think about when you either leave the committee or even one of us leaves the council? Can I keep wearing this shirt, or is it going there?
Well, I would say that you are a paid, very poorly, but paid member of town staff. Selected by the people. I know that. But once you've left, I don't think there's a problem with the next commissioner wearing his shirts. From this perspective, the term volunteer has a connotation that I believe protects the staff. It doesn't protect the staff. It protects the emblem you own. So.
And I agree. I think it's important to designate the and to allow the volunteers in town to get a certain level of recognition as well.
Sure.
That they're doing a good job and spending their time doing it. So I think volunteer is an important component of it, but I'm in favor of this particular approach.
Okay. Did you have any?
No, I'm in favor. I just wondered about post-work, either volunteer or...
Okay. Well, people from committees come and go, and that is why the town is not buying these shirts. So people will buy them on their own. But you have to belong to a committee to earn that right to buy a shirt with the town emblem. So I'll accept the motion to accept the recommendation. And Alan, you can even make the recommendation.
I'll make the motion that we allow any committee in town that would like to purchase their own shirts, as long as it says volunteer and the committee name on it, to work with Meredith on ordering the shirts.
I'll second. Okay.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, so be it.
Thank you.
Can I ask another question? I'm sorry,
yes.
A questioner. Are there still t-shirts sold on our town website?
Yes, ma'am.
And do we make much revenue on that?
Look, we have two logos. We have a town logo and a commercial logo. The commercial logo you can purchase on anything on the town website. We are partners on that website, and the town does receive a percent commission for what you purchase.
I gotcha.
Right?
But it's not earth-shattering money.
Okay, but so we don't have something online where our town gets 100% of those proceeds?
No.
Oh, no.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Is that ever possible, or would that just be like as a fundraiser tool for our town?
Well, given the amount of activity we see on there, it would certainly almost be a waste of time.
Okay. I just think about, I'm a fundraiser too, so my brain is always turning about ways to make money.
The product is good, and the product is attractive. People just don't seem to migrate to it en masse. We do get some revenue from it, and people do buy from it.
And it makes great Christmas presents for your grandchildren.
I order Christmas gifts for friends that live out of state on there.
So y'all look on the website and buy some.
Nikki did mention the other day that they do run specials, and the company makes the shots on when specials are run. So we're going to try to push that out a little bit more so the citizens know they might be a percentage off this weekend or something like that.
It'd be fun for everybody in the community to try to push it like on social media and just see if you saw an uptick in revenue from it.
And this was a brainchild of the recreation department. Nikki, you probably ought to take a bow for that because it was a lot of work.
But it's
a great idea. And over time, it's getting better. Okay? Okay, what's next? More fun.
Dogs on the beach.
Continued discussion of dogs on the beach. There are a lot of dogs on the beach proponents here, or I don't see anybody tonight.
It was last night's meeting.
There we go. Okay, all right. I recognize you. Okay, so let's open that discussion. We went ahead and had a good deal of discussion with a variety of folks. And forgive me for a minute, but... talked to department heads, talked to recreation directors in other places, talked to beach beautification, talked to the people who clean up the beach, the volunteers who do a great job for us, to get a variety of inputs. Now, this is not a voting type item. So we have to make a decision, and we will make a decision based on the inputs that we received. To a large extent, the input that I found was somewhat neutral, that people were either for it, didn't care, but the input we received for those people who are not for it was also significant. And I want to read a couple of the points that were brought up. And each of the commissioners will get a chance to make a comment. Give me a moment, there's so much paper here. I highlighted it, but I highlighted everything, so that didn't help me much, did it? Okay, I'm going to go with what I have here. After speaking with some ocean rescue directors, this were some of the following issues that they mentioned relative to dogs on the beach. The amount of dog poop on the beach, people using dog poop bags but leaving them in the sand, people not using leashes on dogs but letting them run around with leashes on their collar but not holding on to the leash, dogs fighting with other dogs, dogs biting children, people walking back to their cars half hour away after the closing time, staying on the beach instead of trying to get off the beach on time. Dogs running into the dunes and the owners running after them. People claiming they didn't know the rules. All of the issues mentioned above require preventive measures on behalf of police, fire, lifeguards, and public works. The additional issues and risks of these activities, in the opinion of these directors, outweigh the added benefit of a few responsible owners being able to enjoy the beach with their animal. Points being, if a lifeguard has to tell someone to remove a dog, put a dog on a leash, stop a dog from fighting with another dog, tell an owner to clean up the poop, they are being taken away from their main duty of watching people who are in the water. If a dog fight breaks out, who is expected to break up that fight? They talk about people bending the rules. If a dog bite occurs, it would simultaneously require emergency medical care and police intervention. There was, in fact, a dog bite in the beach down at Fort Fisher 2 weeks ago, which required hospitalization of the child. So those were what safety directors think about dogs on the beach. I know there are a lot of people who have a very specific desire to have their dogs on the beach. So those are some of the things that I learned as I went to see if it was reasonable to keep dogs off the beach or to keep dogs on the beach. Dennis, I think you talked to the beach committee. I don't know what their particular points were.
Well, as the beach committee is a group of people who are responsible for looking at access signs, who organize the Adopt a Beach program. So they're sponsoring people, or people sponsor a section of beach to walk the beach. The major concern has always been dogs defecating on the beach and people not picking up after themselves. Now, responsible dog owners, counterpoint to that, often are on there and they'll pick up any poop they see on the beach. So whether it's their dog or some other dog. And the counter to that is we've had people sitting in a beach chair, running their toes through the sand, and when it's buried, you don't know it's there until you find it. Surprise, surprise. So that's an issue. Another issue that came up from discussion, that people do have a fear. There are people who enjoy walking the beach, are afraid of dogs. Again, responsible dog owners control their dogs. Other dog owners sometimes, as indicated, let them off leash, let them run around, or even on leash. I've seen, personally walking on the beach, I've seen dogs on leash growl at, I've seen them growl at and lunge towards walkers on the beach. It frightens people who are not dog people, who are not comfortable around dogs. On the other hand, most of the beaches, many of the beaches in the Carolinas allow dogs before 9 or some form of that, and after 5 or sometimes in the evening. Less people on the beach, and it's cooler for the dog, and it gives an opportunity for dog owners to exercise their dogs and enjoy the beach. As a dog owner, I know today, in this type of weather, most of us don't have large yards where we can fence them in and let our dogs wander around and run. So we walk them on the streets. The streets are boiling hot during the day. It's very difficult. I have seen a proliferation of little squatting metal dogs. Have you seen them on the yard? Little dogs that say no, or not here, or so people, many homeowners don't appreciate your dog squatting on their lawn. Now, I understand that. Responsible donors pick, but then I've had people say, well, you're killing my lawn. And dog urine can destroy yards. So it's very difficult for dog owners to exercise their dogs, to walk their dogs, and get them out in the middle of the summer. So it really is a toss-up. Are you a dog person? Are you not necessarily a dog person and want to walk your dogs on the beach? I personally, and in my experience of walking, I find too much dog waste on the beach, even though there shouldn't be dogs on the beach at all. And that bothers me. And I see a lot of residents and visitors alike, dogs that are not well controlled and not under their control, sufficient that makes me comfortable for me to bring my granddaughter or my grandson sometimes near a strange dog that's coming down the beach. So those are some of the reasons I think we've avoided it in the summer hours. Now, I think one of the things that came up that I have to look at is, you know, we're banning dogs for 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
And I think that may be excessive, in my personal opinion. Month of May is not all that busy for much of the time that we're on the beach. Not that much more busy than it is in the month of April, not the month of May, April. So perhaps we can consider changing the hours, changing the months that we do this. But that's the feedback that I've gotten. On a whole, I think the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee was leaning more towards allowing more time for dogs on the beach. But enforcement is another issue. And, you know, I've talked to our fire chief, I've heard from the police department. Enforcement is not something you can do. You can't follow every dog on the beach.
Yeah.
You don't know. But I have had suggestions that say that this should be a situation where there's no leniency whatsoever. So that's also, I think, a good policy in the sense that that will get out in social media. Ticketing people is present on social media very fast, as we can see from parking tickets and other areas. And that may deter people to be more careful and more responsive if they have their dog on the beach. And the other issue is that we've often seen, one other thing that it's been pointed out to me just today, as a matter of fact, and I've observed it, and I think others have too, there seems to be a giant increase in the number of service dogs.
Mm.
Right? And I, personally, I spent 6 years raising service dogs. And I know what it takes to raise a service dog. And I know what a true service dog can do and how a true service dog should behave. Companion animals are not service dogs. And yet, we are restricted, most people are restricted, from asking, is it a service dog? The best you can do is say, what service does your animal provide you?
That's the only thing you can ask.
And so it is, and I have seen on the beach, I've seen people claim that they have service dogs who are barking, who are lunging, who are not behaving as a service dog should behave. So those are my comments Inputs. From Shoreline Access, my own personal observations, and talking to my neighbors.
Okay.
Yes. You guys are never going to want to see me here again. I'm a huge dog lover. I have two dogs. I live for dogs. I owned a dog boutique downtown Wilmington on the riverfront for 5 years. But a couple of years ago, I was attacked in the face at a friend's house of a dog, and I had to have emergency surgery and got over 50 stitches in my nose and about 12 under my eye. I almost lost my nose. So now I have PTSD as a result of that, but I still love dogs. I have a problem with all the poop on the beach as well. I have a problem with people walking their dogs in the extreme heat, on the street, where it's so hot and so forth. But I'm wondering if, is there anything we could do when you were talking about April? Could we just maybe say, instead of the morning hours where people linger too long,
if you were to extend it just to be, you know, in the evening maybe after a certain time. But again, then it's picking up poop and policing it, like you said, and it's the same idea that I had with the boardwalk. I don't feel like our police department and our, you know, ocean rescue and our fire department should be worrying about those kinds of things. So
you're right, but unfortunately, in an emergency situation, when we have to have the ATVs on the beach, dogs are running around, when you want them leashed, that might be the only time you would wish they weren't, because they will be driving all over the place to try to avoid the animals.
Right.
And you could be late to a resuscitation.
I agree.
Right?
I totally agree.
So it just seems to me that the risk during the season is incredibly large.
I agree.
That's just my opinion. John, you have any points you want to make here?
I like dogs. I've had dogs. I do not have one now, and don't plan to get another one, because my wife and I like to cruise a lot, and I don't want to go through all that trouble with having to dump my dog on somebody else. I'm in favor of keeping the Cure Beach ordinance as it is. I have yet to be able to communicate with a dog to whether that dog, he or she, knows if it's on the road or on sand. I think this has become more of a, it's what the walker wants to be, not where the dog wants to be. We provide dog walking over there at Joe Weeks Park. Robbie and I go out every morning for our 2.5 miles, and we see lots of dogs on the boardwalk and on the street and in the neighborhoods, and I don't see any of those dogs straining to get to the beach. So I'm in favor of leaving it as it is.
Okay. You have any comments you wish to add, Alan?
Well, first, I think the people that came and asked us to re-examine this made great points. And I'm an animal lover. We have pets. We don't have dogs. We have cats at our house. And the reason I don't have a dog is because of the yard size. And, you know, just can't have all the animals my wife would let me have. I can't have all the animals my wife would want. But I do sympathize with the pet owners. I'm not sure that it's fair for a dog to be on the beach in the heat. I would seriously consider if we could limit maybe another month, add some time, whereas make it more advantageous for the dog owners, but not all the time.
Okay.
But I'm open, once we get a presentation or a proposal in front of us.
Right.
Well, you know, one of the things is dogs aren't going to express, you know, where they prefer. And it is the owners that enjoy it, mm-hmm. but it's a much more pleasant way to exercise your dog, mm-hmm. just to take a walk on the beach.
On the beach.
We live here at the beach. We love the beach. I love to go. I love walking my dog on the beach when it's
time.
Permissible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if we can find a way to perhaps find time, more time, to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I walk my dog in the neighborhood, as I was saying, but it, you know, the streets are hot, very hot.
Yeah.
And yet the beach, low tide at 7 o'clock in the morning is a wonderful time to stroll. With your dog on the beach. So there are reasons why the pet owners want to get on the beach in the morning and the evening. It's a much more pleasant time.
David, you have any, hold on.
Yeah. Can I make one comment?
Yes.
There's not been in any of the conversations that I've heard to talk about the noise, just the noise the dogs make if they're on the beach or anywhere else. And they see another dog, what are they going to do? They're going to start barking. Yep, yep, yep. And it can go on for hours. If you're sitting on the beach trying to enjoy a nice day on the beach, having your refreshing glass of iced tea and eating a sandwich or whatever it is you're doing, and there's three dogs around you, and they're going to sit there and bark at each other for the rest of the day. And that's one of the worst things that can happen, is to have to listen to that. And the owners won't make them shut up. And when they do, they won't shut up again. Now, let me preface this just a little bit. I am a dog person.
Okay.
Okay. And a dog person.
But I think that's why we're asking for the morning and evening. It's not like the dogs will be here all day.
Well,
just take for a walk.
Well, that's not.
It's, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't get.
The last 2 weeks, and there's been five of them.
Okay.
Our own beach.
Team, we're not going to get into debate. If you, you're more than welcome to say something, but we're not going to go back and forth. So, did you want to mention something that you're looking for? Morning hours and evening hours, not all day hours.
That's what we're asking.
Okay. All right. David, do you have any comments?
Yeah, I was just going to say, so, I mean, I have three dogs. It's a complicated problem, and it's basically an issue of competing interests. I mean, I would be open to something in the early morning and the afternoon hours, but I definitely don't think dogs should teach when lifeguards are protecting swimmers or encouraging people to go to the beach and enjoy the beach for swimming. I think the problem is that a small percentage of dog owners are in for a bunch of other owners. And I think it's a bunch of issues, right? So there's a leash law, but if you go to Carolina Beach or Fort Fisher right now, they're supposed to be on leash 100% of the time. The dogs are not on the beach in either one of those beaches on the leashes. That 4-year-old that got bit 2 weeks ago at Fort Fisher, that dog was obviously not on a leash, even though they have a rule. And that's an issue for me. We encourage people to go enjoy the beach, and if people would follow the rules, then I think they'll be fine. And the second issue is dog waste on the beach, right? So even now, with the rules we have, and I know there are some citizens on this call that say that our staff doesn't enforce the rules enough, because we get calls about it all the time. Even with the rules we have, there's dog waste on the beach. So, I mean, I'm open to early morning and afternoons, but I'm not. I don't think I'd be in favor at all of any time with a lifeguard at all. It makes it simpler to the police. And if we do change it, I don't think there's any warnings. You automatically get your ticket. And some of our citizens, and definitely the people that are renting their homes to pets and then go to the beach and get big tickets, will be mad about it. But if we do this, I think the direction for the police is, okay, if you see someone in violation of the rule by 5 minutes, they're going to get a $100 ticket or whatever we've changed to these days. So, I mean, I'm open for some compromise, but I'm just concerned that there are a bunch of issues that you can see north and south of us that people are outside the rules that they've set already. So if council, you know, if there's two other votes that want to move it and open it up in the morning meeting, you can get me on board with that. But I think it comes with some other things that some of our citizens may or may not like. And 5 minutes is about me. So, that's sort of my position.
Thank you, David. Well, all of us gave an opinion. We were very decisive. What it sounds like to me is there's a willingness to look at the period of time that dogs are banned.
I think so.
Secondly, I would have to say that the hours would need to be reviewed, because I would not want to see dogs on the beach as we are near season and beautiful weather that would run into people. That may mean that it's not till 9 o'clock. It may mean it's till 7 o'clock. 6 to 7 in the morning, 5 to 7 in the morning, or something like that. I don't know, but if are any of the commissioners willing to take a look at that and come back with a recommendation for the next meeting? Because we're not decisive on this point. We need a plan. You take that?
I'll take that.
Okay. All right. So let the record show that Commissioner Panicali is going to take a look at the timing and the hours. and come back with a recommendation, and we'll vote on it then next meeting. Does that work for you, gentlemen?
Sounds good.
Work for you, John?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Depends on what okay. he proposes.
Well, we'll vote on it.
We'll
then,
vote
right?
on that.
So,
yeah.
But we have consensus to take a look.
Can Carolina Beach shed any light on what they're experiencing with the dogs in the morning and the evenings? I mean, would that help?
Carolina Beach.
What do they got?
Actually, we do ask them. We do talk to their directors. We do, but there are some things that we are not going to agree to do with them because we do it for our people, not for their people.
Well, I just didn't know if
right.
they would respond
no,
to
we,
an endless amount of food,
yeah,
and we have more
right.
than just an attack once in a while, or mm-hmm. those kinds of things. So.
I actually believe we have mostly a different crowd on our
we
beach.
You're
there are
right.
a lot of family folks, not a lot of college students.
Right.
And, right. So.
Okay.
Just my opinion or my observation. So, okay, moving on. The next item on the agenda. Parking at the disc golf course. There was a request that the disc golf course have free parking on the tournament month of the on the tournament Sunday of the month, which I think is the first Sunday. They spoke about it at last meeting, and we do owe them an answer. So, anybody have an opinion they wish to share on this?
Okay.
Okay.
We'll go for
go
it.
Ahead, I think Joe Eats Park is a unique area. And, you know, the first year we instituted parking, we had free parking there, you know,
right.
24/7. This year we had a debate over it. Parking committee had a debate over it. It was abused. There were people who on holiday weekends and busy weekends would drop people off the beach, go up to Joe Eats Park, park the car, and one person would walk down or two people would walk down to the beach and shuttle people back and forth along those lines. And we compromised, the committee, I think, made the recommendation to the council that we limit it to 3 hours.
Right.
In acknowledgement of that, that people play tennis there, children use the park to, and the slides and the swings, and tennis courts, pickleball courts, baseball. Does anybody ever play baseball there anymore?
No.
No. And disc golf.
Yes.
And disc golf is a draw. It brings people. It's well known in the area. There aren't that many disc golf courses mm-hmm. in southeastern North Carolina. It brings a lot of people to Curie Beach. I think one Sunday a month to allow, without publicizing this widely, to say you can park over by the disc golf course for free for the whole day, is not going to be such a bad thing. And so my recommendation would be to just let them know that we won't enforce people parked at the disc golf course that one Sunday a month. We're already letting them in 3 hours, so if they stay four or five, I'm okay with it. My opinion.
Anybody else?
Well, I agree. Go ahead, David.
Go ahead, David.
I was going to say, this is David, so, I mean, I appreciate all the parking committee did, right? I'm the one that probably pushed us to payment. The citizens of Curie Beach that live here have passes and can park as long as they walk where they walk. So the people coming down for these tournaments are not paying anything for the disc golf course, which we pay every year rent for the land, and Public Works does pick up trash. I know they do clean it up, and I appreciate the disc golf community because that was part of the deal when we built, right? Is that they were going to maintain it, right? So the rest of the residents that didn't like disc golf or didn't care about disc golf weren't paying for them to have a full place to hang out. 3 hours, and I understand their point. Well, you know, we have to go move our cars in the middle of the game. Okay, to get your 3 hours, or pay you know, for your once a month, if it takes you 5 hours, so you pay $10, or buy a season pass, which we also allow. So, for me, it's like 3 hours is the right amount, because even if you don't publicize it, the word will get out. And on Sunday morning of July and August and even June, if people can get free parking, they're going to do exactly what you talked about. One, I'm fine with however council goes, so I won't be salty whichever way we end up, but I'm just in counterpoint to Dennis's argument. That's all I've got, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Commissioner Ellen, anything?
I support David's position.
Okay.
I see both sides of it.
Sure.
I really do. And I do agree with David that the people that do not live in Curry Beach need to contribute something. So one Sunday a month, if you've got to pay for 2 hours of parking or 3 hours, whatever it is, that's not the end of the world when you're getting to play there free. There's lots of us that go up the road to the north of us and have to pay for parking when we like to go eat at certain restaurants, but we don't mm-hmm. ask them for free parking on that. So
well, that parking isn't free. You pay to rent that land.
Yeah, and we do rent that land from the government. So
it does generate revenue.
Yes, it does.
What so is you have to realize that
no, it doesn't generate any revenue, does it, Nick?
The sponsorship for you would barely cover the rental of the land.
What is the amount? It's like $900.
If they're all sponsored, it would be $900.
If they were all sponsored.
But they are not currently all sponsored.
Okay.
But Nikki, I thought you said average revenue was about $800 a year. Yeah, and what's the cost, our rental cost?
We don't rent it. It's the renewal of the sponsorship.
Now, what is our cost to...
Yeah, that's...
Eight something.
He's talking about the lease and lawsuit. Maybe he'll call him.
So it's a wash.
Yeah.
So they pay for our costs for Joe Weeks Park.
Except for the maintenance at Public Works does.
Right.
So the sponsors, I guess you're right. The sponsors pay for that, not the golfers.
Yeah, the golfers do maintain it. The golfers do pick up. Obviously, we need Public Works to empty the trash cans and do what's there. And I just also mentioned it's an attraction, and it's not. They don't have tournaments. This is more of the Pleasure Island Club itself. Mm-hmm. That plays, members of the Pleasure Island Club, and then they move the discs around so that people who do come in afterwards for the rest of the month have a slightly different course to play, mm-hmm. so they're not playing. It's like moving the hole on a green.
Yeah.
And they do that once a month. So
did they charge to play the tournament?
They have had charity events. Nikki...
Yeah, there's an entry fee. There's an entry fee because they pay out. They pay out prizes.
But they also contribute. It's a chair. They also raise money for certain charities.
But they do charge the golfers to enter the monthly tournaments. My niece's husband goes and plays every time he's here, and they get payouts. They get prizes, cash prizes.
Okay.
If they're charging, we could.
Sorry.
Ask the organization for.
Well, you address the bench.
Hi, yeah, Mary Ann, 401 Largo. Why is this different than a fishing tournament or a beach tournament? Why is the golf different that they wouldn't pay? I'm just saying, why is it more special than any other event? The every Tuesday market. I don't want to pay for the Tuesday market. Why should I pay for the Tuesday market? It's an event. I don't get why the golf is different. Explain. Why would those people not pay when we all pay to go to the fishing tournaments or sandcastle tournaments or whatever happens to come up? Why is the golf different? charity thing? Is it a...
The, no.
No.
No, so why wouldn't this pay?
Certain of the events that you mentioned are free parking.
They are.
But only the Polar Plunge.
Okay.
The...
That's
yeah, the sportsman, the fishing event for the handicapped children, because we also allow some free parking for people who are little pink houses. Is that the name of it? When they bring people, so there are unique charitable
right.
efforts. But you're right. You, if you don't have your car registered, pay to park for Tuesday festivals. You pay to park for everything else.
You know, I wonder how many of the people are truly Curry Beach residents that they should have a parking, you know, should be registered to park.
Right.
And what percentage is not, because I don't, you know, I don't know how. I got mixed feelings about it. I really do. I do think we do have a lease on the property, as David said.
That's why she helped us pay for that.
Yeah.
Dennis brought up a good point on that. The sponsors do help us pay. The reason the sponsors pay is because we have golfers. The golfers don't pay. They pay to enter the event. So we can do one of two things. We can accept a motion that says make them pay, or we can accept a motion that says we should not make them pay. But at any point in time, this is not a difficult question, and it's not earth-shattering. I think we have discussed it. We should make a decision.
It's not a huge amount of money, either.
No, it isn't a huge amount of money. The point in making three-hour parking at that park is so that people who don't have registered plates do not take up all the space for our residents who want to come and play pickleball and can't find a spot to park, or want to go to their dog run, can't find a spot to park. Yes?
I listened to the meeting last month and heard them
yes.
speaking. Now, if they stop in the middle of their tournament and move their cars, does that reset it to the 3-hour mark? Because he said that they were shuffling their cars.
Well, he talked about moving the cars, but if they understand exactly how they control that, that really doesn't make a difference. My opinion. I don't know how they control it. I haven't asked them, but I can imagine how they control it. This is a license plate system. They go in at 9 o'clock and they take a picture of the plate, and the plate is not in the system. Great. 3 hours later, they go in, they take a picture of the plate. The plate is still not in the system. So it's almost now. Do they go up there often? I have no idea. I know that the three men we have are very busy downtown, but it's a matter of, do you want to allow it outright, or do you not want to allow it outright? And that's not a tough question. That's just a personal question that we have as your representatives. And we're going to vote on this, and you may or may not agree with what we decide. But we had a plan. We've executed to that plan. We've listened to other people's opinions. We have our own opinions, and we will vote our conscience. So I'll accept a motion to do one or the other, and then we shall vote, gentlemen.
I'll make a motion that we leave the parking system at the disc golf course that's currently in place, leave it that way.
I'll second.
Okay, so we now have a second. Gentlemen, that means that we have to come up with a vote. All in favor of the motion as presented, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
So it stays as it is. And I appreciate Dennis for his honesty and his thoughts because of what it brings to the town. He often thinks larger than me. He's probably smarter than me, too. So, all right, let's move on. improvements to the oceanfront boardwalk. We didn't want to talk about that tonight.
No.
Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to why we are where we are. John?
So, if I may, I have a couple of comments first. Unrelated to the update, but I was in charge of the boardwalk in 2006 and 2007 when we put it in originally. And so it's really interesting to hear some of the same comments from different people. Back in 06 and 07, we wanted it to be ground level. All the residents wanted it to be ground level. And CAMO rules wouldn't allow us to do it at the time. And so some of the first proposals came back showing the boardwalk elevated 3 feet. And you guys didn't want that either, because then you lost a part of your view. And so after a while of working together, we came back with what you see there now. The other thing that is interesting to note is that the first boardwalk was supposed to be 8 feet wide, and Kimmel wouldn't allow that either. So that's why it's 6 feet wide. I've heard from several property owners over the last week or so. I think the only one that is here, wait a minute, let's see. Mrs. Banks is the only one that I've talked to that's actually here tonight. I'm available if you guys want to talk about it, but ultimately I'm doing what town council tells me to do. I'm not sure why everybody thinks that putting a concrete ground level walkway will cause more flooding, because I can tell you that the flooding right now is caused by the berm that's there where the vegetation sits. That's why that water is pooling on the road there. And secondly, if that water's gone within 12 hours, you don't have a flooding problem. And then the other big question I kept hearing about was safety from pedestrians and cars coming down the road. In all of our talks so far, there's been a lot of discussion about placing bollards about every 6 feet all the way down the road. So cars being able to access that walkway would certainly be possible if they want to tear their car up, but ultimately there would be a deterrent. And so I'll get to my update now if you want me to, Mayor. But,
yes, please.
You guys instructed us to apply for that camera permit. We had the permit application prepared and ready to go as of the end of that week. I think it was the 10th. One of the processes is that since we're applying to the Wilmington DCM office, they have to come down and mark what's called the first line of stable and natural vegetation. After repeated phone calls to get that done, it was finally done today. And so since that is done, we can now legally submit our application, and that's going to be done tomorrow morning. And that's really all I have for you, other than a lot of our residents are voicing their concerns to CAMO also, which they're encouraged to do so. Mm-hmm. And they have received them, and they've been letting me know about that. And so that's all I have right now.
Okay. All right. John, the vegetation line versus the development line, that has that changed at all at this point? Nothing since last discussion?
No, sir.
Okay. We are still now on the development line.
That's correct. Yes,
using the development line allows us to do a few better things with the existing boardwalk. Is that correct?
That's what you ask.
Okay. So if we lose the development line to the vegetation line and the space that is required from the vegetation line, do we have any risk on our boardwalk?
Well, we'll always be able to repair and maintain what is there.
Okay, but we would not be able to modify it.
But as far as modifying it, that could throw some new hurdles up to us in the form of going before the Coastal Resources Commission for variances, which is a very complicated process.
So the reason for so quickly going after a variance is so that we have more options to consider as we move forward. Is that true?
Going for a permit. Going for a permit. And
yes.
Something else I want to clear up to you guys. Council's been talking about what to do with that boardwalk for quite a while, as far as preparing and maintaining it and things like that. brought it up to them, why don't we do it concrete just for the ease of maintenance? And they asked me to explore that a little bit and to give you a little bit more background. In 2007, we weren't allowed to do that, do what we're proposing now. In 2017, we had some rule changes that, in fact, allow us to do that now, that are ultimately getting ready to be changed back to the old rules from before 2017. And so I told the town council about that, and they said to apply for the permit. Now, just because we're applying for this permit, and we're probably going to get the permit, doesn't mean that we have to build this boardwalk right away. That permit's good for 3 years.
Did you say there's a deadline or something, or is there, what day are you referencing? Did you say deadline? Or do we have a certain amount of time you said to get the permit?
Right, and I'm not sure if it's going to be July 1st or August 1st. There's rule changes that are in the policy committee, whatever, that goes through and approves them before they become legislation.
So, Kama, when you put the first boardwalk in, they said it had to be raised. And then in 2017, it could go back to flat surface. What is the decision behind them saying it must be raised again? Have they encountered problems with ground level walkways?
It's just the different rules that were put in place. There's going to be ways for us. It all depends on your placement, proximity to the, that's what it all comes down to. And so the only changes they made was how they measured that distance from the ocean. And so those are the changes that I'm referencing.
But you're saying that after that deadline, they're going to say it has to be raised in order to approve a permit?
For the ease of the explanation, yes. There's a lot more there at play, but
I'm just wondering what the reason is. I mean, they just arbitrarily say raised, flat,
yep.
Raised, in another couple
yep.
of years will say flat.
Yes.
I'm not joking
whatsoever. I want to say one more thing, too. I don't know who came up with the $2.2 million for this job, but I don't think we're going to be anywhere close to that. I don't think council would ever approve a $2.2 million walkway.
That was Bike Peg Committee, and that was with a plastic, like Trex type surface. Not that's what that was. So don't hang your hat on that price tag.
That was not, they did not recommend concrete.
And please, all we asked John to do was inquire into whether we could get a permit, knowing these changes were going to come to place, and that we would have 3 years. And we got plenty of time to have public input meetings and have a design. Just like I told you folks at your house that day, we have plenty of time to get this right. But this part, we needed to get the permit in hand just so we have it, so we don't get ourselves tied down. So it's all about timing, really. And we haven't voted on whether to even do this project or not. We just voted for John to do we just made a decision for John to do a permit.
We're just surprised that when Howard and I spoke to you that day, you said that it was a want, not a need, and then 2 weeks later, you were kind enough to give us a heads up and say that this is going. We're doing this.
Well, I said we're going to apply for the permit.
Right. It just seemed like such.
Yeah, but I always told you we were going to apply for the permit. That's all we've done, and we've not made a decision on whether we're going to make these changes. We just wanted to apply for the permit.
So what is in your mind? I know you have made decisions, nobody's voted on it to approve it or whatever. I mean, again, I haven't been to any meetings. I prefaced that with my letter. This is the first time getting that letter. I'm like, what the heck is this? So I started asking neighbors. So if you're not doing a $2.2 or $2.4 million, because again, all I've known is what I got in the mail, and then I went to the website, and I'm like, what the heck is this?
Okay.
What do you propose that it would look like, one, and what do you propose that it's going to cost?
We're not there. We haven't had those conversations yet.
Okay.
We just I'm sorry, but I'm being as honest with you
as
we can.
I don't know anything about
And we would not do anything without totally looking at the cost and totally listening to the citizens about the impacts of it, okay?
That's
great. So just give us the leeway to say we want all the options in our basket if we decide to do something.
Right.
This is what this is all about.
Okay.
And then,
as John said, you know, these regulations can change. You don't know what's coming up, when it's going to happen. And so if there's an opportunity to get the permit in now, we should take it. All right. It doesn't mean that anything's going to happen. It's just being opportunistic and saying, let's do it while conditions are favorable for us in case things change in the future. And this was a case where things are going to change. Will they ever change back again? We don't know. But why not take advantage of an opportunity?
And I completely understand what you're saying. I'm completely get it. But just know from my perspective, all I got was a certified letter. I had not been to any meetings.
Well, it wasn't from us.
And so
John had seen it.
Oh, okay, the certified letter was from John. But what did it say, John? We're getting a permit, right?
He said we were getting a permit. We didn't say we were getting
it. That's a requirement of permitting.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, I have no beef with John whatsoever. Yeah. The only beef I had was what I shared. I don't want to spend millions of dollars. Where's the money going to come from?
Susan loves me.
You know, what?
Susan loves me.
I do love you. You and I are always good. You know, 10 to 12 feet wide. I mean, where from my perspective, sitting on my front porch and being the person that walks and rides and walks their bike, rides my bike and drives and walks my dogs, I mean, I don't see any problems with it. I get it's a maintenance issue. I totally get that and understand, but I just feel like spending millions of dollars.
Get off of millions of dollars, please.
So you don't have to
make please get off of millions of dollars.
Okay, well, is there any way to get that off our website, off the bike?
No, website? Because what they proposed in that special, there's a link on there. You can click on in that plane, and it shows you that fancy dancy stuff that they put out there. But that was just a proposal in a master plan.
Right.
So let's. The fact of the matter is, we're going to come back to you. We're going, and if we get decided to design this, we'll have more public meetings. We'll get everybody's input. Just trust us long enough. But we needed to take advantage of this window of opportunity. Is all it is.
I understand the trust you and everything else, and that's fine, and we'd like to be involved early in the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Rather than late in the process. The other point I just wanted to make, when we're looking at, I understand why we're going ahead and getting this permit now. However, this is the first time I'm hearing a vertical post going in every so often, just like the boardwalk park. That does not belong in a residential area.
Well, that's not been voted on either.
Okay, I understand that, but I just want to kind of nip something like that in the bud early on. Okay. You will have so many problems along that road with cars and trucks and everybody else backing out. They hit into the bushes. That's okay. It's a decent, pleasant buffer zone. When you put in vertical posts in a residential area,
okay.
Ugly can you get? And it's going to destroy a lot of vehicles that are just working there, and they're coming out, and they back. It's a short, it's a narrow road.
All right. So, like I used to tell my son.
That's like.
Why don't what if? He used to always want a what if with me, and I'd say, son, let's don't what if until we know what the issue is. So if we come out and we show you a plan on a piece of paper that says we're going to put a concrete bollard every 15 feet, then you got the right to tell me at that point, Alan, that won't work. And we'll listen to it.
What I'm hearing you all say.
One at a time.
But just hear me out. When there is a plan and a design and something to vote on, then we're going to take everybody's comment. We're not going to do something and then all of a sudden the bulldozers show up one day. It's not going to happen.
So I don't want to wake up October the 12th.
It's not going to happen.
I walk out on my porch to, you know, have my morning whatever, and there's like trucks everywhere and a, you know, whatever.
God, I hope a truck don't show up tomorrow morning in front of your place. No, I'm joking with you, but
I think in a nutshell, people just felt caught off guard, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
So maybe better.
But trust me.
I am overwhelmed to see the reaction. And maybe we could have explained better what the intent was.
Yes, we received certified letters.
Well, and that's a requirement. And we did.
And concrete ground level.
Yeah.
There was no, well, it might be tracks, it might be this, it might be that.
Right.
The official record that we received said 10-foot wide ground level concrete. That's
yes.
all we can go by.
Well, that's fair. You could ask us about that, and you have. And I hope you accept the description that was offered by Dennis and by Alan, because it truly is. It has to be very specific on the permit. But the truth is, we want to make sure that we have options. And we will lose options if we wait. So we're getting a permit without any idea what we're really going to do. And you have the commitment from the people up here that you will get a chance to review what is going there and comment on it, just like you had a chance on the budget and you had a chance on the plan and the land use plan and the land use survey. And I don't want you to think that we are changing our methods. We could have communicated better. I accept that. I accept that wholeheartedly. Yes.
So you realize Atlantic Avenue, it should be Atlantic Lane. It's not an avenue. It only has 22 residences, and only 4 of those residences are full-time. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult, but we've been able to get a groundswell. I now know everyone that lives on Atlantic. So...
You certainly rallied the troops quickly. But as the mayor was saying, you know, I'm new to the council. I don't think, and I've been here for many, many years. The town doesn't go forward with making major changes like this, take major undertakings, spending lots of money without consulting with the residents, without working with the residents, and without making sure that there's buy-in from the town as to what's going to happen. And I assure you that the council will continue to do that. The mayor said that, you know, maybe we could have communicated a little better, given a little more of a heads up before you got the letter. But it's a formality. It's not, that was not the intention to alarm anyone by any means. It was a formality, and there was a limit, a time frame for which John had to get this in. And so, you know, we've learned maybe, you know, as soon as we start thinking about this again, we'll be a little bit more proactive, let you know that, okay, it's on our agenda. We're considering again what's going to happen here.
And when you do come up with the ideas and the plans, there will be meetings and opportunities for
absolutely.
Us all to collaborate
absolutely.
On those ideas.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You won't just
you
present
absolutely.
What we'd
no.
like to do, and you can mm-hmm. come talk about
look
it.
Look at the Bike Pedestrian Committee. Okay, the amount of effort and work that went in on that committee to just come up with a plan, proposal, things that we can do for the town. And that I see that as the type of interaction that we would have on anything that would affect the town.
Is there a boardwalk committee, or could we create a boardwalk committee like the Bike Ped Committee?
If it's appropriate at the time. I would
but the Bike Ped Committee, I mean, it can do this job.
Yep. You could join that committee and have your.
You can come to our meetings. All our meetings are open to the public.
Yes.
Y'all are not going to want me to come. Sometimes.
No, you're more than welcome to come.
Yeah. Can we be actively involved in it? That's the committee that's going to be making this decision.
No.
No,
we
they
make
don't make
the decision.
A decision. They make recommendations.
Okay.
We make the decision.
You make a decision.
We
but
make
the
decision.
That's the committee that's going to be going through all this work. And
yes.
coming up with the plan.
With recommendations.
With the
yes.
citizens, with citizens involved.
Can we yes. get seriously involved? Or be
absolutely.
Part of the committee.
Absolutely.
Another add another member right. from Atlantic Avenue. And the only reason why I say that, I'm a big studier of human nature and the human condition and how mm-hmm. things are done to a certain extent. There were a number of us, and I know we had surveys, and there were a number of us who wrote significant cons about the boardwalk. When you see the final plan, nothing's there. It's all selectively edited out. A little bit of an agenda, that's the way the world works, but they're not there.
Excuse me, that's who works? I'm sorry.
That's how the world works.
Because we didn't selectively, I don't think they selectively left anything out of the plan at all. Now, we now did I personally or did all of us in town see the, all the comments that come in and know what was in the plan? No, I can't tell you that.
Well, online, none of the cons, and I'm not a part of this.
Yeah,
but
did, okay.
They're not on the bike cliff plan.
Did you attend any of the three public meetings where they had the plan?
I filled out the surveys. I went to the... Yep.
You mark your blue spots?
I used sticky notes, and I signed in with my email address, and I looked at all the boards that were up, and I spoke to people at the table. And let me tell you, I was very uncomfortable because it was very busy, and it was during COVID. And I have asthma, so I've been very reticent to be in, my heart was racing coming here today. So I attended that meeting, I did my due diligence, and then I left. And I had my mask on the whole time. But, so yes, I was involved.
Okay, all right. So,
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Before it gets dark,
yeah.
I'd like to recommend we organize a ride down to the boardwalk.
Actually, I'd like to invite all of you to come and sit on Atlantic for hours, during the high season and see what we see as far as people getting together and people getting along and bicycles coming down the wrong way, bicycles going the correct way.
I think it was during coffee with the mayor, there was a lot of mention of cars going in the wrong direction, bikes going in the wrong direction, skateboarders on the boardwalk, people who have wheelchairs not having enough space to get by on the boardwalk. There was quite a bit of input in that particular meeting. So
I was listening.
What's that?
Come and observe. Spend some time.
I've spent 10 years here, so I have spent a little time there.
But not on Atlantic for a prolonged period.
I've been on Atlantic quite a bit.
I know. I see you drive by.
Right.
But
right, I do.
See Commissioner
Allen walk by. I have more town to cover.
Every day he walks by.
Right.
Mr. Oliver, every day he walks by.
Right.
You're aware of what's going on. So, Mayor,
right.
You come in and stay for a bit. Michelle and I will give you a nice drink.
A nice drink. Of my choice. Of my choice. So,
where are we in lights at crossing Fort Fisher, like at N where the post office is? Is that,
We are currently working on, we have to do encroachment agreements with the state that basically says we're going to maintain, I guess, Mike, that's the best way. Maintaining, anytime you put something up in the right of way, you got to have an encroachment agreement.
So you have to have somebody install it. DOT will install it. We have to install it.
So we're working on the encroachment.
Are there going to be like solar?
We're working on the encroachment agreements right now.
Okay. And then in the intersection with the stoplight there at the theater, are there going to be the signs that say cross or don't cross?
That was a federal grant, that we 100% grant, no cost to the town. And we got $360,000 for that.
Yeah, about that. Tell us how to spend that money and give us that money, we can get
They give us 10 years, and now we know why they give us 10 years, because we don't even know. We have a number now for our project. That's how far we've gotten. We have a
note. You mean for just that intersection doing that?
Yes.
So it's going to take a while, but that's in the works.
Okay. Because, I turn there every day.
Yep.
There where I can take my steps on.
And we're working with the state on additional funding.
And y'all please come to our bike peg committee meetings. First Monday, 3:00 here of the month. Yep. That's the one.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we really do have to move on. We're not finished yet. And it's 8:30. So was there any last comment that you had your hand up for? Okay, very good. All right, let's move on. New business.
9.6.
Oh, I'm sorry, we have 9.6. We have the GPI.
And David's doing it, and the DM.
David.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The town attorney, the public works director, myself, have been working with GPI to get two contracts to deal with stormwater issues. One of them is a master service agreement that allows them to work for the town to evaluate permits and compliance for the permits. And I'll turn it over to the town attorney on that one after I mention the second one, and he'll talk to us about what we need to do. But basically, I'm requesting the town attorney to allow us to enter into two contracts for stormwater. The second one is for the pipe that Montu has finally given the town permission to the west of Settlers Lane to alleviate the stormwater issue from water flow from the Montu property through those properties to Settlers Lane. And then I'll turn it over to the town attorney at this time, who will tell us exactly what we need to do.
Thank you, Councilman. He gave a pretty good description. We've got two. First of all, GPI used to be LDSI, and the town has got a course of dealing with LDSI, which has been issue-free. The terms and conditions of the GPI contract are like they were under the LDSI contract, and they're very well drafted. It's one of the few times that I wouldn't have much of anything at all to add. What is a master service agreement where they will provide on-call assistance for stormwater transfer and issue, stormwater permit issues. They estimate the average cost of that to be $5,000, and I'm sure council knows that, and I confirmed this with Jimmy earlier today, we've had two such issues probably since 2015. So even though that contract doesn't have a set price, it's reasonable to assume it would get nowhere near a $50,000 cap. The reason I mentioned the cap is that the other aspect of these two agreements is that we are hiring engineers, and under the statutory requirements, you normally would do that on a request for qualifications first and negotiate second, which would take a lot of time. But that same statute allows you to exempt engineering contracts, architectural contracts, surveying contracts that are less than $50,000 or less. And that's what we've got here. The Matsu stormwater drainage pipe, that is a set cost contract. It's 49 something, and that's below the $50,000 cap. As I mentioned, the master service agreement would probably be $5,000 or less annually. So what's before you tonight, and I think you've got hard copies since this was a last minute deal that you got all of our ducks in a row this afternoon, is a resolution 04 for the master service agreement attached there, please, and resolution 05 for the Matsu stormwater drainage pipe agreement attached there too. The resolution finds that, talks about what I just mentioned, the possibility under the statutes to exempt these types of contracts under a $50,000 cap. It also finds council finding that LDI or GPI or LDI, SI as formerly known, has demonstrated their competence for the town in previous projects. So, adopting the resolution will exempt it from the procurement requirements and authorizes the mayor to execute on behalf of the town. I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Can we do both in one motion?
Well, why not?
Okay.
Resolution. Mention the resolution number.
Okay. David, you have something?
No, I was just going to say, unless you have any questions, go ahead. I'll let you do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that we accept resolution R22-04 and R22-05 for exemption from the with GPI Engineering Services.
And approval.
And approval.
I'll second that.
Okay.
I'll second that amendment.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve the service agreement and the
contract.
Right, and the contract. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Okay. Moving on to new business. There is no new business. Mayor updates. I'm not going to extend the evening. I have no updates. Commissioner items. Commissioner Panicali.
Nothing new.
Commissioner Ellen. Any new items? I mean, any updates, Commissioner Adams?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've said enough tonight.
You've said enough. Okay, Commissioner Hagler?
No, sir. Have a great night.
All right. We have no closed session. I'm sorry, I missed that.
I didn't hear.
Sorry, Dave.
No, we don't think true.
He wishes in Kirby.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I can't approve that motion, David. We have no closed session scheduled. Do we, Mandy?
No, sir.
Okay. In that case,
I will make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.